I'm Matt Bush with BPR News. I'm speaking with Smoky Mountain News politics editor and Blue Ridge Public Radio News contributor Corey Valancourt, who is in Washington, D.C. He's actually in Pentagon City, Virginia, across the river from Washington, D.C. right now at his hotel room. Corey, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Glad to be here, Matt.
So you talked to Madison Cawthorn, someone who's been in office not even 3 weeks right now, but has certainly made quite a bit of waves, not just in D.C., but back here in Western North Carolina in his district. We're going to talk a bit about his role in the insurrection that happened 2 weeks ago at the Capitol. Now, looking back at his speech at the rally before the insurrection happened, did he express any regrets about what he said that day and how it may have led to the statements he made, how it may have led to people deciding to go to the Capitol and storm it?
So Representative Cawthorn's only been in office 3 weeks, as you pointed out, but it's been a tempestuous 3 weeks. He did say that if he had a crystal ball, he might have added a few things to his speech at the Ellipse, the rally that featured Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani, Mo Brooks, a number of other figures, but he wouldn't have removed anything. He also said he felt that he made himself very clear that he was going down to the Capitol to speak on behalf of people who felt that they didn't have a voice. And he's repeatedly stressed that the battle over the election was to be fought in the halls of Congress and not out on the streets.
You know, this is exactly what happened in the Revolutionary War. You know, we felt like we didn't have any representation, so people wanted to go and fight because of that. But I believe I made it very clear, I'm going down to the Capitol to be your representative. You know, your voice is being heard. This debate will be had, and I will partake in this debate on your behalf.
Well, certainly a lot of people very upset with him, feeling that his words led to the insurrection, or was one of the people that whose speech at that rally on the 6th led to the insurrection. He uses the term battle, talks about the Revolutionary War in that quote. Now, around the time that Arizona Congresswoman Gabby Giffords was shot 10 years ago now coming up on, there seemed to be an effort to remove the language of combat from political campaigns, terms like targeted and districts, fights and battles. The vocabulary has pretty much crept back into the political lexicon in the United States, has it not?
It absolutely has. And, you know, obviously we have to be careful with our words. When I talked to Representative Cawthorn about this, he quoted a Bible verse, as he often does. He said, just as the rudder steers the ship, so too the tongue directs what happens in life. So he is very aware of what words mean. And he did point out that if we chastised everyone who ever said, I'm going to go fight for you, then you have to get rid of every single politician out there because they're all saying, I'm going to fight for my district. You know, a fight can be many things. Cawthorn said, it can mean fisticuffs, physical confrontation, but it can also mean you're having a fight with your wife about who put the spatula in which drawer.
You know, obviously you've got to fight back against the onslaught that comes from the other side. And, you know, if they're going to be using aggressive language and aggressive rhetoric, obviously I believe we might have to match that. But I think that there is a discussion that needs to be had of the verbiage and the lexicon that we do use in political speak.
Well, some more words the congressman said after the insurrection was on the Charlie Kirk radio show, where he thought Democrats were behind the insurrection, that they paid people to do this to make Trump look bad. There is, of course, no evidence of that. When you asked him about that in your interview with him, what did he say?
Well, he said that there is still a lot we don't know about the insurrection. He's right about that. But it does appear there were very few, if any, people from the left participating. One group Cawthorn does think shares some of the blame, however, is mainstream media. He says they've been sowing division for 40 or 50 years.
I believe that they share some of the burden of the guilt for this. You know, this mainstream media of how much we've inflamed the American electorate, how divided the country is.
Now, one of the biggest things that happened that day was something that nobody's really been quite clear about, but you were able to ask the congressman about this, and that was whether he was armed on the House floor that day. He said he was. He told you that in an earlier interview with you, which happened the day after the insurrection. You asked him about it again.
I did. You know, when I broke that statement he gave less than 24 hours after the insurrection, it caught a lot of attention, and people were asking, is that legal? How did that happen? And so there were never really any answers. A lot of publications focused on this, a lot of news outlets. Cawthorn told me today that he said he was not armed on the House floor. He's well aware of the laws that prohibit that. But he did say he wasn't able to really describe the process, because it involves disclosing some security measures, some evacuation routes of members. And so for the safety of members of Congress, we're not going to talk about that. But he did say he was able to make it into his office and retrieve a firearm. And firearms, loaded firearms in members' offices certainly are legal.
I also carry a medical kit with me every single day because, you know, I think that if you are trained and you are willing to make holes in people, you should also be trained and willing to fill holes in people. And so, you know, I think that, you know, carrying a firearm is a life-saving measure. You know, people are less likely to try and resort to violence if they know, hey, you know what, we're all armed here. It's not just going to be a fist fight.
We're going to break a rule I sort of set for myself and some other people here at the station and talk about 2022 just very briefly here. Wanted to go through how people will govern for the next 2 years. And obviously, we just came out of a very long and grueling election. But let's look at 2022 very briefly here. Republican State Senator Chuck Edwards of Henderson County has called out Cawthorn a couple times here since the insurrection for some of the statements he has made. Edwards has also raised a lot of money for his reelection to his state Senate seat last year. And he's going to have a big hand in redrawing the congressional and legislative districts in North Carolina in his role as a state senator. Tell us more about that.
Well, Cawthorn and I both agree that all signs point to Edwards contesting Cawthorn in the primary election in the spring of 2022. Cawthorn's confident. He says he believes in the democratic process. He believes in the judgment of the people in his district. He said he thinks he can win in an R+1 district. And he also thinks the state legislature is behind him as well. So he certainly welcomed the challenge from Edwards or anyone else that might end up throwing their hat in that ring.
I look forward to the challenge. You know, I think the people of Western North Carolina will make the right decision. And, you know, I respect Chuck Edwards. Why he's deciding to attack me in the press and attack a fellow Republican, I think, is kind of asinine looking at what we're up against with Roy Cooper, Joe Biden, Democrat-held Congress. You know, I think that doesn't make much sense. He's my state senator in Henderson County. If you want to fight me in my hometown, come on, anytime.
Corey Valancourt, as always, thank you very, very much, and have a safe trip back to Western North Carolina.
Always a pleasure, Matt.